car's on fire, and there's no driver at the wheel. And the sewers are all muddied with 1,000 lonely suicides. And a dark wind blows. The government is corrupt. And we're on so many drugs with the radio on and the curtains drawn. We're trapped in the belly of this horrible machine. And the machine is bleeding to death. The sun has fallen down. And the billboards are all leering. And the flags were all dead at the top of their poles.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Our Podcast Could Be Your Life, coming hot on the heels of an unexpected hiatus.
Yes.
My name is Caroline.
I'm Jeff. We had some technical difficulties last week.
It's because we're punk as fuck.
That's right. We had an episode about Portishead. Didn't turn out. Probably wasn't that good of an episode.
Sorry you missed it.
But, yeah. Quick thoughts on Portishead?
They're good.
How about our special guest? Do you like Portishead?
I love Portishead. They absolutely rule.
All right. Well,
so that was our Portishead episode.
Those are our thoughts on Portishead. I also like Portishead. So that's that. We're moving on, though, to a different band.
Yeah. Let me describe this band.
Hey, be nice.
Can I describe them now?
Well, I was going to say maybe we should introduce our guest first.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Or if you would like to introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rate Your Music's Moo Kid, coming at us from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, that's who you are. Say. Cool.
Yeah, Caroline didn't even know who you were.
Yeah. Well, you just say some guy wants to be on our show, and I'm like, all right, I'll figure out
who
it is.
I am some guy,
later.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the pre-filming green room process. There's no introductions. It's all live.
Well, he said himself on his profile page on RYM, he's literally just some fucking guy.
I'm literally just some fucking guy.
Yeah, that sums up everything.
Yeah. And your name is Tom, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's just what it came up on Skype. I didn't actually know your name. I've always thought of you as Moo Kid.
I'm pretty anonymous. That's why I'm just some fucking guy.
Right. But now you're Tom. Mm-hmm. We go by first names here.
You can put a name to the other name.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can't put a face to that name, but I saw his face, and he's got some crazy hair, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Hmm. No other RYMers shall see it unless you come to a meetup.
That's right.
But prepare to be amazed if you do.
Oh, yeah. It's something special.
Come to your neighborhood meetup. Anyway.
Are those the thing? Are people doing that now?
I've done it like 5 times. I've met like, I think, 10 or 11 RYMers. Isn't that weird?
I mean, I met Jeff.
Yeah.
But we're just like friends.
And Dust Devil.
Yeah, and Andrew. Mm-hmm. Champion friend.
Sure. I've met people in London, Philadelphia, New York, Austin, almost San Francisco.
Did you meet Lucy?
Yeah, that was in Austin. That was exactly a year ago this month, so that was really nice.
Awesome.
That was certainly one of the more pleasant ones.
Did you have some unpleasant ones?
Sometimes they can be like, have a lot of silence. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
A little awkward.
I met... what's his teasing? So he's not a super active user, but he lives in New Orleans, and I met him like a month ago, and that ended up being like an all day like bar crawl kind of thing.
We Did ended you up steal your wallet.
We were in a parade. I still had my wallet, but it was still really fun. I don't know. It was great.
Well, come on down to North Carolina, bro.
So come to your neighborhood meetup is what I'm trying to say.
I know there are people that live in Charlotte that I probably could meet up with. We could go to Lunchbox Records.
Hey, see? Yeah, record store. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an open space, so I'm not going to get murdered.
Right? We like to keep them safe.
I don't think any RYMer would murder you.
I'm sure that they would, based on things that I've said about this band.
So what band are we talking about?
We are talking about a band called Godspeed You, Black Emperor. And if you'll allow me to describe this band for you. Hey, stupid, do you like crescendos? Here you fucking go. That's all there is.
To be fair, Godspeed kind of did it first.
You know what? Listen. Somebody did murder first.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Godspeed is better than, like, Explosions in the Sky.
Yeah.
Or, you know, any of the other, like, anonymous post-rock bands.
They're better than any of the post-rock that came after them, but if you look at stuff like Gaster Del Sol and, like, Disco Inferno and the stuff that got tagged as post-rock in the 90s, it's like, that was music that was genuinely interesting and good and, like, stuff that I like to listen to. And then we got stuck with this shit, and everybody thinks it's deep and smart and exciting, and it's not.
I feel like a lot of those don't really even sound that much like each other. Like, they do different things. Like, Gaster Del Sol had a lot of more jazzy elements, and, like...
Well, Tortoise did, but Tortoise had a lot of minimalism, like Steve Wright kind of stuff, too.
And Tortoise changed on a lot of their albums, too. Like, they started using electronics, and so that's why I feel like Godspeed gets grouped in with Explosions and Do Make Say Think and whatever, is because they're kind of more, they kind of kept a formula, I guess.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, like, it's fine to keep a formula. I mean, I like the Ramones.
Yeah.
But the Ramones had a formula that was good, and they stuck with it.
Well, I think Godspeed's formula was kind of cool at the start of it, and then it maybe wore thin, kind of. Well,
they just kept doing it.
Tom, so, like, I basically picked Godspeed because they were listed on your favorite artists.
Yeah.
So you are a big Godspeed fan, though?
Yeah, so I'm a big Godspeed fan. When I first got into post-rock through, like, Explosions and some kind of stuff that I guess, like, some indie kids were passing around, and then eventually you hear about Godspeed and their name is intriguing, and they're like a film band. So, like, they're super cinematic and they're mysterious, and they are, like, supposedly anarchists, and they're from Canada, and they had their own studio, and they, like, people thought they were terrorists and, like, all this.
Yeah, I do remember that. They
kind of had this, like, Fugazi-like approach to their music that made them seem like they had a lot of integrity, which I feel like, even if you don't like them, I think that they haven't really compromised in terms of their, just in terms of the way they make music. Like, they still
record
themselves.
That's true, but I also feel like nobody would want them to.
Yeah, and they seemed like they would never compromise anyway, but so obviously they haven't.
That is true. It does seem like their fan base has grown very organically. Like, it's just kind of built up from, you know, grassroots.
And they kind of did the thing where that a lot of bands did, where you break up and then the internet happens and then everybody gets their music, and then they come back because now they can actually make money off of it.
Well, they had more of an indefinite hiatus thing going on, didn't they?
Yeah. Then they came back. Like, I thought that was so badass. So they came back. They came back. They recorded this LP, and then they secretly, like, pressed it, and then it just appeared on the merch table at a show in Boston. Isn't that, like, a super badass way to, like, announce a new album? To just, like, the anti-announcement? That's so Godspeed. I don't know. I thought that was
pretty cool.
Like, people just were like, wait, what's this? And then the merch guy's like, oh, it's the new album. What? You know? I thought that was cool.
Have you seen them live?
Uh-huh.
You have?
So I've seen them twice. I saw them when they first started playing back together again, and I think it was maybe 2011. We drove down to Chicago to see them.
That's when I saw them.
Yeah. So you probably saw them within the same, like, month or two. It was, like, early 2011.
Yeah, yeah. I saw them in D.C. in, like, March 2011.
Oh, that was the same month. That was exactly – can you believe that was, like, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Probably, like, this week. We're old.
That's when I had my first job after college, and I just quit it, and I went to go see the Godspeed Show, and it was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she probably had a similar experience to me. I mean, they played for, I think it was almost 2.5 hours. It was only old material. There was nothing off any of the new records, nothing off Hallelujah. It was, I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, I think I want to say they did play what I guess would become Mladic off of Hallelujah, which I think they were calling it like Albanian at the time or something.
Okay,
like
yeah.
That.
Yeah, that was an older one. Yeah.
Because it has those like pews, pews, like sounds in it.
Yeah.
I remember that. But yeah, it was a pretty good show, though. I mean, did you think they were good when you saw them?
Yeah, it was very overwhelming, though. It just kind of kept going. It's kind of like a Swans show where they're...
Right.
I feel like them and Swans are similar in their live approach, where they're, you get more out of it when you think of it less as a rock band and more of like a performance arts ensemble, which might sound kind of pretentious, but just like...
See,
you can't expect it to be like everybody's cheering and then there's like stage banter and then, you know, it's those are good shows to be seated at.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time I saw them, which was a month ago, I specifically got to the venue really early because they have this one ledge that's on the side of the floor that people can sit on. And I sat there and it was a similarly like a very long show and I was really glad to be seated and kind of like just kind of zone out for a while and things like that.
Hmm. Well, I guess we can talk about the albums here. I guess the first thing they released was the now legendary
All Lights Fucked on the Harry and Drooly.
Hell yeah.
All Lights Fucked on the Harry
and Drooly. The rarest album in the world. Remember when that Redditor found it and then like posted pictures of it and then started getting all these crazy messages and then deleted their account?
Yes.
And that was like a big RYM thread.
What kind of messages were they getting?
It was a lot of like, I don't know, people are just very passionate about that. So I feel like people were like, you're doing the band a disservice by holding on to it. Or like someone was like, I'll pay you a huge amount of money for a private rip of it. And like, I don't know. That seemed legit. Did you guys think that was legit?
You know, I don't
know. Didn't they confirm that it was?
It was like original pictures that were like timestamped. It seemed like.
Yeah. No, but he released like two of the songs, I think, didn't he?
They were like little samples, yeah.
Or like demos or something, and they were like, yeah, that was real.
Yeah, and he said it didn't sound interesting, though. He said, I listened to it, and it's just kind of like, it sounded like it presumably was more like Set Fire to Flamesy, where it's just kind of like, I don't know, found sounds and less construction.
So, you know what would be great? What's if... It turned out that this whole time, like, they've started as a hardcore band, and it sounded like a really bad version of, like, Millions of Dead Cops or something.
That would rule. Godspeed doing hardcore? That would kick ass. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I really like hardcore, so I'd probably like it.
Probably like it more than the rest of their albums.
I would.
I can't imagine it's, like... Did the band not have an original copy at this point, or like
they must be sitting on it? But it's probably too big of a deal now that if it would be too high profile for them to release, like it must be a weird situation because I'm sure they think it is a bad recording and everything that we've heard sounds like it's a really amateurish record. But if they released it, it would like be a bigger deal than their most recent LP, you know? And that's like an awkward situation to be in.
Yeah,
were there only 33 copies of it or something like that?
That's extremely rare.
Yeah. But still, imagine finding that. That's like the music nerds. Like, you could make a film about that, and only music nerds could watch it. It'd be like High Fidelity.
No, I actually wanted to write like a kind of a mystery type story about something like that, about like tracking down
the Holy Grail.
Yeah, like my thing. It was like a No Wave 7-inch that was pressed once. Just by a guy that made it, and the guy died, and his best friend has it, and like people, and it's reached like this legendary status.
Yeah,
just because nobody's heard it.
Exactly. Yeah, but it might be really bad. What happens if you get it and then it sucks?
Let's see, my feeling
that
is that
was going to be the whole thing about it.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh, really? The anticlimactic, like.
Well, no, just the idea of that, and then like the idea of, you know, that these two friends were gonna like find the guy and then rip it, and then they listen to it and they're like, you know, I don't know if I want to,
yeah,
like cannibalize the moment of it. I was really deep. I was like 20. So.
See, I feel like it can't possibly be good, or else like they probably would make a point of releasing it, right?
Yeah.
Like it's,
but it looks cool, and the name is cool.
It does have a cool name. I'll give them that.
What does that mean?
Well, who knows?
Because at least F sharp, A sharp, infinity means something.
Yeah,
I guess. Well, let's talk about F sharp, A sharp, infinity.
Yeah, that's the one you kind of like. So say what. Say, you have to say one nice thing about it.
Maybe okay. Three. Okay. I do think that East Hastings is used well in 28 Days Later. Yeah. What, is that funny to you?
That's like more of a compliment to 28 Days Later.
Right. No, but that actually, that context where is like the perfect context for that, for this kind of music, and the fact of what this album is supposedly about and what it's talking about and everything, like, makes sense. And and also, like, this is the first time that you hear them doing their thing, so it's not old yet.
Yeah.
And so, like, looking at it like that, I'm like, yeah, well, I could listen to stuff that kind of does this, but better, like, more interesting to me, but this isn't bad, and I can see why people like it, and I don't mind listening to it if I have to in situations like this.
Yeah.
Also, it's not... I mean, it's... No, it actually is really long, but...
It's always really long.
Yeah.
I know. That's a big... I got a big problem with that, I gotta tell you.
That's why I'm surprised Slow Riot is not your favorite, because that is probably my favorite of theirs. That's true.
Nah, I don't like Slow Riot that much.
But it's only
just
like
more it's just more of the same shit. I don't know.
But there's less of it. See, that's why you would like it.
There you go.
That's you know what? You're not wrong. Mm-hmm. But if that was used in a movie... in an effective way, then maybe I'd like it more.
Yeah.
Like, if they use that in Carol, maybe I would like it.
See, yes. That's going back to what I said about, like, a movie band.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of... I don't know. Were you a film major?
I was a film minor.
Okay. Do you feel like a lot of young, kind of aspiring little indie filmmakers use Godspeed, like, just for easy cinematic effect?
Yes.
I feel like they were a favorite among people that I knew who were film buffs.
Yeah, and I think people need to dig a little more and get a little more creative with the way that they use music in their student films.
Hey, man, it's better than using explosions in the sky, that's all.
Yeah, that's super cheap. Yeah.
That's why I couldn't watch Friday Night Lights.
Right.
I was now, like, I was like, they do the music? No, thanks.
Are you still an Explosions in the Sky fan, Tom?
Yeah, kind of, but that goes into a greater thing that I feel like I think you two can probably relate to, which is just, remember when post-rock was like a thing? Like, there was a while when I thought Explosions were great and like exciting and the discography was cool and I had all these other boring post-rock bands that I grabbed from like share threads that I can't even, their names were always like As Burned by Giants or As Something oh by right. Flames or right. You know, like it's all very deliberately dramatic, and the Evpatoria Report, stuff like that. I thought that was all
I definitely remember when nobody would shut the fuck up about post-rock.
Yeah.
Like when I was like, when I was like in high school in like 2007-ish, like
roughly like, yeah, 2007.
Maybe it was just the dude I hung out with who wouldn't shut the fuck up about it.
I totally back you up on that. It was specifically like 2008, 2009-ish was like, Explosions of the Sky, oh my god, they're so cool, they don't have vocals.
Yeah.
See, all that shit descends from Godspeed, though. Like, this specific strain of post-rock, the soaring guitars and the strings and the crescendos, like, that's all... I feel like all those bands are redundant when you have Godspeed, basically.
And, like, because none of them are really trying to do anything different with it.
Yeah.
They just simplified it, really. They just had less members and just did the crescendo parts, and I feel like Godspeed did... Like, the crescendos are the big, exciting parts, but they did a lot more than just crescendo parts, and their side projects kind of accentuate the other things that they did.
And they had like the cool drone parts, too.
Yeah, and, like, the ambiance, which was really, like, detailed, I feel like. I don't know. It was super layered, and they had a bunch of members, and it was well thought out. It wasn't just, like, one Fender guitar doing a twinkly line, and then you get louder, which was basically what Explosions were, but they did it really well on, like, two albums.
See, we kind of use Explosions in the Sky as like shorthand for a terrible band.
We really do.
Do you like that?
I strongly dislike Explosions.
Really?
In the Sky. Yeah.
Oh, but they were the shit for a little while. Okay. See, were you ever a fan?
No.
Okay.
I kind of think they were always bad.
They just have a cheap effect that really worked on me when I was like 18 and like super.
Well, yeah, I mean it's fist pumping music, you know. It's soaring, like, you know, lift your skinny fists kind of music. I mean,
I remember I saw a guy was my waiter one time at a hamburger restaurant, and I saw that he had the cover art to Lift Your Skinny Fists on his tattooed on his elbow.
Wow!
And I was like, I can't imagine being that guy.
Oh, I can do you one worse. I know a guy that has an Explosions tattoo.
I thought you were going to say that you had a Godspeed tattoo.
No, I don't have any tattoos, but I know a guy who has the Explosions, like the angel one from the one with the super long title.
Oh,
he's got like that tattooed on his forearm, and like it just whenever I see that guy, I just see that and I think like, man, 2009 was like so cool.
Yeah, I actually kind of legitimately thought about getting an Ozma tattoo, like the cover of Melvin's album. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't really know if I want to get like a music tattoo. Like, that seems kind of gauche.
Well, the time passes once you get old enough, and then you're like, well, I could have gotten it when I was young and then looked at it and been like, wow, it was cool to be 20. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't cool to be 20. I was 20. It's horrible.
I feel like I've made it this far without a tattoo, so like I should probably just, you know, not.
Yeah,
do that.
See, yeah, it's.
I'm probably gonna get one eventually because like I'm like gay and hot, so I sure. feel like I should.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
those are the two major criteria.
It's my duty as the it's my duty as the kind of person that I am, but I don't have any yet
for free. Yeah.
Because I don't have the money to spend on stuff like that.
You just walk in and be like, hey, I'm gay and hot and I want the Ozma tattoo. And they'll be like, those are the three great things that should happen.
It's on the house.
It's like, yeah, I think it would work. Men are very impressed with you when you like bands that they like.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
It's a cheap one.
It works.
No, that's a... It's a It does work.
I know it works because I've been there, man.
Absolutely, it does work. It's like it's just kind of a cheap way of like winning. It's like a very easy way, you know. But it's like, I bet you'll freak out if I say that I like Godspeed, and then guys are like, "Yeah, oh my god, wow!" Like it's a big like you need to be applauded for.
Yeah. No, my whole like teenage years on the internet was like, you know, coming into this forum, I'm like, "Hey, any of you guys like KG Hino?" And then the response is just like 500 dudes jerking off.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
It was like, bad.
Wow. This is my dream. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was bad.
Right.
But anyway, F-sharp, those guys are all though. Dead now.
Yeah.
They're all dead. Wouldn't you know it?
You know what else is dead?
What? Post-rock?
All the flags at the top of their poles.
All the flags. Yep.
So, F-sharp, A-sharp, Infinity, I think this is probably their best album.
It is, like, undoubtedly.
And I kind of think they never really did anything better than the Dead Flag Blues.
Like, they didn't really do anything like that album.
Yeah?
It was just, I feel like it was just kind of a, after that it was a little bit of a stylistic shift, kind of, like, I don't know, with, like, the spoken, like, there's no spoken word parts on Yankee UXL, for instance.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, things like that. So I
Hey, you're right.
I had a friend in college who had an original F sharp, A sharp. Remember when he told me about it? He was like, "It has the penny."
The penny.
The what? Penny. So a lot of the early pressings came with like little novelty loafers? Items. They came with like little novelty items, and one of them was a penny that they would just put pennies on their local train track, flatten them, and then, you know, send the iconic, like, flattened penny, which I suppose was a tradition of yesteryear when you didn't have TV or whatever. You just go flatten coins on. Or maybe, right. Maybe they still do that in Canada. I don't know.
Before well, they entertainment do that was in invented. The, they do that in the Science Museum in Raleigh. They have a smash penny machine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah
and
yeah.
I went and I did it. And then, like, this little kid came by, and he seemed like he wanted to do it, and I gave him mine, because I'm a nice person.
You're such a sweetheart.
Yeah, because it cost you
a penny. Now I don't have a smash penny, because that fucking kid.
See, well, I'm saying if you want to get, like, a cool smash penny, the original press of F-sharp, A-sharp, and you could just throw out the record and just have a penny.
Yeah.
I'd
can't spend it, though. It's not worth a cent.
Mm. I'd make a video of myself smashing the record like over my head.
Oh yeah. No, if you wanted to be clever, you could just leave the record out on the train tracks. Be like, have that.
Yeah. No, but I actually like I harbored no ill will toward this album.
Right.
If they had just done this, I might actually like them more. Like I don't love this album, but if this was their only album, I'd be like, yeah, Godspeed, they're pretty good. They're not my thing.
I'm gonna try to get you to rant though. Let's get to the next one. Let's get
okay.
Well, hold on. Let's hear what. How do you rate F sharp, A sharp, Infinity in the Godspeed canon?
Overall, I would probably say maybe third favorite, but probably second favorite LP. I mean, my favorite, bar none, is probably Slow Riot and then Skinny Fist. Okay. But F sharp is really good. It was also the first one I heard, and I didn't understand it at first because I was just like, I don't know, I was kind of a post-rock hater at first. I was like, where's the rock part? It's all just ambience.
Right.
There's like no drums on this. I had to wait like so long to even hear a drum beat. Then I realized like, oh, that's maybe I should just like fucking chill out. This isn't a Ramones record.
It should have been.
Sorry. It should have been.
Where do we fall on the opening monologue? Is it moody or is it goofy?
I mean, it's
goofy. It's goofy as shit, but it is iconic.
It is iconic, definitely.
Like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even a value judgment.
But
it's on fire.
Like, it's stupid.
Does anyone know whose voice that guy is?
I have no idea.
He sounds like an extra from like a Coen Brothers flick, like the cowboy. The car is on fire. There's no driver at the wheel.
Do you feel like embarrassed when you listen to it though? Like,
yes.
it's silly, you know, like.
I don't think it's that. I don't know. They just are going for something, and they just like did it.
I don't like when people go for things.
See, that's like a big like music nerd debate. Is like, is this thing kind of tongue in cheek? And I'm just like, no. They like fucking like.
No, I think it's not at all tongue in cheek.
I don't think
I don't think it's tongue in cheek. I just think they're.
Have you seen any of these guys laugh?
Ephraim made a comment one time at the first time I saw them, but none of them had mics, so I didn't. He like someone shouted at them, and he like said something back, and like people in the front laughed. I don't know. It's he has like a little sense of humor.
He made a joke,
but yeah, I don't. It's not tongue in cheek.
I have no proof of it having happened.
But yeah, it's serious, but at the same time, like the context, like when this was made, I don't think when it was made, it would have been a goofy thing. Do you think?
No. I mean, I don't think it's goofy on purpose.
No, I don't think that at all.
I think like they're absolutely going for it, but
it's kind of like the overuse of it, or like I don't know, the popularity of F sharp. Like in retrospect, once all the dust is settled, now we can see like, oh wow, this is like a little bit of an ambitious kind of a stretch. But at the time, it was like, who had ever really done that? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it might be interesting to bring up their politics, which I've always found vague and not really
generally pessimistic.
Well, just you know, that's the thing. Like, there's not so much politics as just like images of apocalypse and like societal collapse and
Linkin Park. Like
but yeah, I mean, like an instrumental band that is like super political, but mm-hmm. they can't like. It is kind of vague because it's not like a punk record where you can just where it's super clear and direct. It's just like they that shows they used to hand out little memos. Like I have a friend who saw them in like 2003, and they had the door guy like hand out sheets that said like, "We are in dire times. The end is like, you know, kind of apocalyptic. Like, people need to act." Like, you know, it's kind of just like encouraging voting and like encouraging being politically active, I think.
Interesting.
Well, what's the point of voting if we're all going to be dead at the wheel? Mm. And our wallets are filled with blood.
Mm-hmm. And the car's on fire.
Yeah. Voting sets your car on fire.
Yeah, what the fuck's even the point if this is what's happening?
I voted and now my car is on fire.
That happened to me. I did vote and then my car exploded and now I'm dead.
And you're like, I should listen to That's the Moment You Become a Godspeed Fan.
Godspeed called it.
Uh-huh. They did.
All right. Well, how about Slow Riot then? This is your favorite Riot. Godspeed.
Oh, yeah. It's just, the record's 27, 28 minutes long. It does everything that Godspeed is great at doing. Mm-hmm. It's succinctly and like even on their own, I think. These pieces would stand out even if they're in the middle of an LP. I think there's a reason they still play all two of them. But I don't know, BBF. That like, what do you? There's a little monologue for you.
Oh yeah,
I own a semi-automatic rifle. I own two. You know, like
that fucking guy. America is a third world country. Like, so wait, like he's delivering this rant to a court because he got a traffic ticket. Like, is that? Isn't that what he says?
I remember reading the context of it. There's also like an Iron Maiden reference in his name.
Yeah, he like quotes. Yeah, he recites the lyrics to the song "Virus" by Iron Maiden.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought that was a poem that he wrote.
That's what he said, but it's not.
It's the lyrics to "Virus."
Yeah.
Interesting.
The hater knows more than we do. I say this one time and one time only. I don't repeat myself for nobody. I says. I'm here to pay a speeding ticket, not to listen to your lectures and hear you run your mouth for an hour. I says I'm here to pay off my speeding ticket, and I'm here to get my fines out of the way and get the fuck to work. The judge says you can't talk like that in my courtroom. You're in contempt of court. Then I said, I told the judge, if that's the best you can do, I feel sorry for you. I said, why don't you just shut your fucking mouth for once and listen? I said, I'm not gonna take your shit. I said, I'm going to pay my speeding ticket, like I said. I walked up to the goddamn bench and I handed my $25 up and I said, there's my money. Now I am leaving. And I left it at that. I says, don't get loud. I says,
I got every right to get loud. I says, you can't do a goddamn thing about it because I'm expressing myself in your court and there is nothing you can do about it. You think you're God because you have a rope and you can put people up the goddamn river for 20 years? Well, you're not. And I'll get it back. Cheats, they rip the people off. That's the American government for you. America is a third world country and people don't recognize it. And I think that's pretty goddamn sad that they don't recognize their own country as a third world, third rate, third class slump.
Well, it's just, I don't get, like, because he says, like, he was at for a traffic ticket. And he's like yelling at the judge that America is a third world country because of this traffic ticket.
I love this guy. I gotta tell you.
I always assumed it was like a street recording because I feel like there's a lot of like noise and like, are there like cars in the background or something? It's just kind of hissy.
Yeah.
But I mean, what is? Would it be your second favorite, Jeff?
Slow Riot.
Yeah.
Maybe I would probably say Skinny Fists is my second favorite.
Yeah,
just the first three releases. They're all pretty much on an equal level for me. But F Sharp A Sharp gets the edge just because I love Dead Flag Blue so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Moya is one of their best like crescendos.
Oh, for sure.
it's one of their most like epic sounding moments. That da 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 da.
Absolutely.
This music is silly, kind of, but you can't help but be wrapped up in it. But you know, I just generally
what is that silly about it? Like,
because it's so overwrought. Like,
yeah,
it's really trying to like stir things in you. It doesn't. You hear the effort being made, I guess.
There's a lot of, yeah, so people don't want to hear, people want it to be, like, natural, but, like, I feel like that's easy to say about anything that's sad. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's, like, super overwrought. Is it like an Elliott Smith record? It's just like, oh, he's in shambles, but, like, he was actually in shambles. But then
That was real. People, that guy died.
But people who are naysayers would be like, I don't know, there are people who shit on Elliott Smith for being, like, too emotional or something, you know?
Right.
So I feel like God's, I don't know, I never felt like Godspeed was that silly. If anything, more indulgent, like, okay, every song is 24 minutes and I get to sit down and listen to all of it.
And they're fucking song titles and album titles, you know?
I think they're silly. Yeah, I think they're silly because their song titles and their aesthetic is kind of silly. And I kind of think that the guy reciting the Iron Maiden song, like, I think that they picked that because it was funny.
Yeah. See, I don't know if Godspeed has a sense of humor, though.
Like, I agree with you on that. Yeah, I think they picked it because it was.
Yeah.
Sorry for cutting you off.
But it, like, and part of why I think it's so silly too is I just don't think that they're structurally interesting enough to justify the bombast that they are throwing at me.
Mm. Like, what do you mean structurally?
Well, because, like, if you analyze it, I mean, they're not as bad as what came after them, but every song kind of does have the same structure. Like, they have a droney part, and they have the little, like, weed-a-weed-a-weed-a-weed-a, like, guitar and violin part, and then they have the crescendo, and everybody's having a great time. And it's like, okay.
I think
you should keep that in your pocket and do it, like...
Yeah. This is jumping ahead too far, and we'll get back here, but on the post-reunion material, I think they've changed that a little bit, and the Silvermount Zion records kind of show that as well. Like, the intro to the newest LP, straight drum beat. Like, there's no... Like, it's already built up, you know?
Well, I got news for you, buddy. If you think I'm listening to a Silvermount Zion record, you can get fucked.
The last Silvermount Zion record was... pretty cool. It was like my top 10 for that year. Fuck Off, Get Free, We Pour Light on Everything.
Silvermount Zion is actually a lot better than you might think, Caroline. Like, they sound less like Godspeed than you might think.
Sure. The last one was loud. The last one was like heavy. The last one was like almost like a I was listening to it at the same time I was listening to the last Thou record. Mm-hmm. So it's like big, just super layered, ultra fuzzed out guitars. But at the same time, their first LP was like pretty much ambient.
Yeah. It's got some like, well, it's just not like crescendo driven like all of Godspeed's music is. Like,
yeah.
I guess it's, I don't know. How would you describe it, Tom?
It's just a nice counterpart. Like, some of the records are nice little companion ones, like Born Into Trouble is pretty post-rocky, but the newer stuff has taken more risks than Godspeed has. I think that the Godspeed crew knew that, like, people come to Godspeed for a reason, whereas Silvermont Zion has more liberties to kind of play around with stuff. Like, their discography is certainly more dynamic. Mm-hmm. But I thought that once I heard the last Silvermont Zion record, I knew that, like, okay, Godspeed's going, like, a louder, more, like, direct direction. And that is true. Like, I think on the last two episodes.
Well, when they start sounding like Pussy Galore, you can call me.
That's Caroline's cup of tea.
Yeah.
Have you heard that album, Dial M for Motherfucker? That album fucking rules.
Sure.
My ex was super into them. I used to hear them a bit. Yeah, they're fun.
Pussy Galore is good. I like Royal Trucks better, but...
Yeah, I do too.
Pussy Galore is good, though. Yeah. What was the last Silvermount Zion record? I haven't...
The last one was Fuck Off, Get Free, We Pour Light on Everything. I think it was... Right, you hate that title, right? that was like the first record that I loved in 2014. It was very early 2014.
Okay. Yeah, Silvermount Zion has probably even sillier album titles.
Yeah, they're really all about it, yeah.
Do they know that they're silly?
See, I don't know, because, like...
They're just like, long titles are our thing. We've always done it. We're going to keep doing it.
No, I know. I don't have a problem with having long titles, but, like...
It's not even that they're long.
Why are
long.
They...
It's,
yeah,
it's
why
like
are they
the...
that?
They're cryptic? I don't know. I think they're cool. This is the thing about silliness that I'm trying to say, but I couldn't really articulate, is that I like to buy into something where it's just like, all right, this band is super long titles, the songs are super long, everything's a crescendo, let's just be like fully about it for the next hour and a half, like let's ditch any notion that this is silly and just like take it as it is and like pretend that they're, I don't know, I can get into it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, like, so there are some silly things that nobody can take seriously that I feel like
you accept it on its own terms.
Yeah,
like you're not a like, you understand they're going for something.
Like, this is what this band is about. I think it would be silly if, you know, it would be silly if a punk rock band tried to, if the Rolling Stones tried to suddenly do it, you know?
Right.
It's silly. Oh my God, that would be amazing.
For instance, like, the 1975, like, the synth pop band, and they had the record that was number one, and the title is super, super long. I thought that was kind of like, oh, you're going for, like, an artsy indie thing when I saw that, even though the music is, like, I don't know, super, super poppy.
Right.
Like, it's, like, synth pop, but, like... So with them, I felt like they almost didn't have a license to do that, whereas really anybody can do whatever the fuck they want. But I feel like with Godspeed, it's like, all right, this is their thing.
Right.
This has always been
I just like, I don't like when bands don't have a sense of humor.
I really don't.
And I think it's because my two loves in my life are music and comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily want to listen to, like, comedy music, but I just, yeah, you know, motherfuckers just want to laugh, in the words of Paris Whittles, and I appreciate that, and that,
like
I think things being super serious all the time just doesn't speak to me.
I think people always criticize bands that take themselves too seriously. It's certainly a thing in black metal and, like,
You
know, like, hardcore punk, where it's like, this band is bad just because they are, like, super into their own thing. And nothing is, like, tongue-in-cheek, which you could never fault someone like Zappa for. Or something, or, like, Ween or, like, Primus or what, you know, it's all...
Although Frank Zappa took himself a lot more seriously than he should have.
Yeah, and certainly there's some of his stuff, like... This is also very tangential, but...
Yeah, but,
That's what we do.
But Frank Zappa asked, does humor belong in music?
I know.
So that's, the perennial
but,
question.
But, It's funny that you bring up metal, because I feel like black metal, because I feel like any kind of metal scene tries not to acknowledge the inherent silliness of it.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge debate in black metal, like Immortal, you know,
because
they always have the face paint, but they are totally in on it.
Immortal are fun.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the black metal acts are like way smarter than people think.
Yeah.
Like even the cover to like Transylvanian Hunger, right? The Dark Throne album with like, he's carrying like a three tiered like lamp thing. Or like, he's like screaming and his face is white. It's like, of course they're in on that. Fenris is like a goofball. Like they're.
Right.
I don't know.
And I think people want that stuff to be like super hard and dark and like.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. You got to let people be human beings.
Yeah.
The 90s are over. And that's all I have to say about that.
Where were we?
So are we talking about lift your skinny fists like antennas to heaven?
The big one.
Yeah, the big one.
It's the biggie.
A double album.
What the fuck is this thing?
87 days.
It's like you're just seeing it for the first time. Wait, so it's 87 minutes and they don't say a word on it? Okay, I'm out.
No, they're singing on it. They do that, like, Baby-O song.
Yeah. And you get the monologue at the beginning of Sleep.
Yeah. They don't sleep on the beach anymore.
So, is this one your second favorite, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I like it, but I think I've listened to it all the way through in one sitting, like, just maybe three or four times.
Well, how could you?
Is that bad? I don't know.
It's so fucking long.
It's so fucking long.
And, you know, I kind of think track four is useless, kind of. Like
The short one, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, shorty.
And Tennis to Heaven is, there's nothing there for me.
It's like credits rolling, right?
Exactly. The credits rolling takes up a quarter of the album.
Yeah.
You know, I think the first three tracks are pretty good, though. Like, I think this is a pretty good album that has been... I think it has the, like, look and feel and sound of, like, greatness, just because it seems so, like, epic, and it's two discs, and, like, it's long as fuck, and, like, it's got
no,
all
it
these
doesn't.
Different parts, and,
well, if Godspeed are, I mean, yeah, they're a trying band, right?
Right.
That's what we were saying? Like, they just try a lot?
They try.
Then this is the one where they're just doing the most of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely their most ambitious work.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to be an ambitious band, then it's understandable that this is the big one. It really, really goes full on for what Godspeed were completely about. Like, it encapsulates them, right?
Sure. And, but I don't think it's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like this has sort of been elevated to, like, one of the best albums of the 2000s status.
Have you seen it on the RYM charts?
Nah, where is
it? Let me pull it up quick. I swear it's like, it's certainly their highest rated, but I feel like it's fucking...
Is it like really high up in the general charts or just
in
the
2000s? Oh my god. All-time chart, 25.
What?
Fuck!
It's, you are kidding me.
You want to see what it's above the White Album. It's above Marquee Moon. It's above Black Saint and the Sinner Lady. It's above Bottom of Bonds. It's above Daydream Nation. It's above Blood on the Tracks. It's above Enter the Wu-Tang. It's above Rubber Soul. The Bend, Zeppelin 2, Bring It All Back Home, Illmatic. Like, it's above all of these.
Oh my god.
Is it above Black Saint and the Sinner Lady?
It is 25.
If you want to hear music that's good and does something, and he's also going for something and is ambitious, listen to motherfucking Black Saint and the Sinner Lady.
The rating is a 4.15. It's got 14,000 ratings.
See, this is the internet, though, right? Like, Godspeed, they've got that internet fan base.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know how well-regarded they are, like, generally.
How generally popular are they? Because, like, the people that I talk to that are really into music, like, Godspeed is a really obvious reference.
Yeah.
But if you talk to people that are, like, into music, but they're not, like, us about it, like, where are these guys at?
Like, they came to the big main club here that, like, for instance, Beach House sold out two nights there and Godspeed didn't sell out one night on their most recent tour.
Wow.
So use that as like a reference to, like, I don't know what people around
how popular
that they actually are. Surprises me that they didn't sell
so,
out.
Yeah, so they sold it out at the door, but not at not like pre-sale.
Right.
So yeah.
And Animal Collective is still selling out at the Orange Peel.
And Animal Collective sold out that club in pre-sale, so Animal Collective sold out more than Godspeed. So there you go. That's what I kind of use as a reference, like shows. Like, did this sell out?
Right. What's
the ticket price? Like, but I'm looking at the release page of Skinny Fist right now. We got a pretty good Spirit of 77 review. Vito's got
I miss Mike so
43
much.
Favorites.
R.I.P.D.
I really miss Mike every day.
Yeah. Let's just read his. Hello, I am a modern college student with a mild interest in the arts and am terrified with expressing any sincerity in anything ever for fear that someone might take my feelings seriously. 4 stars. 26.
All right, let's pack it up, you guys. That
about sums it all up. Huh?
My bad, just gave it a B, so that's what we're looking at.
Ah, that grumpy bastard.
Wait, who gave it a B?
The bagel.
Ah, the bagel.
You're so nerdy. Oh my god.
Lime Dye Bagels. He's
a friend of the show. He was on our show.
He was on our show. I've got some. Well, you know, I feel like we're sort of friends now that he's been on the show, but I still got beef with him. So.
We all do.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him, I think, before or since.
He's a legend.
But, yeah.
I think everyone on RYM has beef with bagels of some kind.
And they should have respect as well. Shout out to the bagel.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. I'm just not active enough anymore to really hold beef.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean,
life.
Nathan is a smart guy and a talented writer, which just makes his terrible opinions all the more frustrating, you know?
Shout out.
That was great.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was great.
So, okay. So this album.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck is this?
That's great.
What is it? What is this type? What does this mean? What is this supposed to even be?
87 minute long, huge thing. I think when you think
about
it. No,
I know that that's what it is, but what is it?
I know.
What does it want to be?
Fundamentally, it is just this object that just makes
fundamentally,
sound.
We're all just objects.
I think when they approach this, they have a concept in writing because all of the pieces are clearly the length of a side, which is like an interesting like compositional element. It was like, you know, like Pink Floyd did with Amagama kind of. And I feel like a lot of it's kind of like a excessive rock thing. Like, let's do a huge double album where we all get a side, or right. You know.
Oh, so this was kind of like an Amagama or a Double Nickels thing where they all.
I feel like there's a reason that none of the pieces are like 6 minutes long. I mean, I don't know. It's clearly like meant to be played on.
Well, yeah, like why are these songs like suites rather than broken up into individual tracks? Or
three of them are all within a minute of each other in length. Like, so they must have been written or mixed or blended somehow that way because they're little different movements. But
this album has like these moments that I really like. Like, I love the beginning of Storm, which I think starts beautifully, you know, with the really quiet descending guitar, and then the horns come in, and then the drums, and we get the big crescendo, you know.
Yeah,
and then,
that's the highlight of the shows for sure. Did they play that when you saw them?
I don't think they did play Storm, actually. Really? They played Mafioso from East Hastings, which I really appreciated. But
yeah.
But I really love, like, when the first like part of the song is done and it holds on this drone and you get the violin that comes in that does the like that's a great moment, you know, and
that's what the violin always sounds
well for these people. It sounded especially good on that part so, but you know, and I love these. There's all these like great little moments on this album, but it's kind of broken up by just like long stretches of nothing, you know.
Oh yeah,
which I find frustrating. Like this didn't need to be 87 minutes. Come on,
it's just I feel like it's padding.
Listen, if you're gonna make an album this long, you better fucking justify it. It better be wall to wall, nothing but hits.
Yeah, that's what I think the post-rock haters say, is that they do like they build up to do a really good thing, but then you kind of like value that thing more when there's none of it around it. You know what I mean? So they have padding to make the loud parts seem more dramatic, whereas like you could just get a hardcore record and they'll just do that all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think if you want to enjoy it, you have to enjoy the padding. Like you have to enjoy like waiting. Mm-hmm. Just like, yep, in 10 minutes, we're going to be full blast here.
Right, but I
feel like some people, you know, would say, I don't have 10 minutes. Just give me the fucking rock right now.
Sure.
I have 10 minutes, but I want to be like listening to something.
Yeah.
Like I have so much time, you guys, to listen to music and I want to like listen to music. okay, take a band like Earth, right?
Yeah.
Earth 2, Special Low Frequency Version.
See, how can you
you break it down.
How can you
not
build
a
that
lot
up and shit on this?
Yes. Well, yeah, when you break it down, not a lot happens. But, like, they go for a thing. And, like, okay. It's constant. You know what I mean?
Do you like Earth 2?
Oh, God, yeah. Earth are one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember
you don't
when
like
we
Godspeed
saw them.
For being monotonous?
Yeah, I remember when we saw them and Andrew hugged me and was crying when they played Bees Made Honey in the Lion's Skull.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful moment with my friend.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
It's nice to have friends. No, but Earth 2, like, there's constantly sound on that album. Mm-hmm. And
it's the same volume of sound.
But it does the same thing. Yeah, pretty much. And I much prefer, like, that kind of wall of sound kind of thing to, like, all right, we do a thing, and then it just drops off, and we're just, like, jerking off for, like, 10 minutes. And then we're doing another thing. It's like, just don't waste my time.
Because Earth keep doing the thing, whereas Godspeed are like, we're going to tune up and do this ambient thing and do it again in 15 minutes.
Also, Earth evolved as a band.
Earth changed a lot, yeah.
Yes.
Earth 2, I mean, like, the last track on that is just, like, one note, if I remember.
Yeah,
it's
and,
just, like,
half
an
Earth
hour.
Are consistently good and, like, I mean, they kind of, for a while, they're, like, had their one thing and stuck with it, but they've evolved and still have remained fundamentally themselves.
Yeah, and they're hard to pin down, too. They're, like, debatable. They were, like, a drone doom metal band, but also, like, a post-rock band, but then, like, an alt-country-ish band in slow motion? Mm-hmm. Really, when you come down to it.
Yeah, they're great.
I had a point, but I forgot what it was.
Sorry.
You talked too long.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I have a skinny fist story.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell this final. So, I have a good friend who is an ROAMer as well, known as Library, and he went to...
Oh, yeah, I know Library.
Yeah, he rules. He lives in Portland now. So he went to a private school in Wisconsin, and they had a rule, like, no shirts, no, like, band shirts, or, like, any, like, just in general.
I thought you were going to say no shirts, and I was like, what fuck kind of Larry Clark High School did this guy go to?
I thought you were going to say no Godspeed.
No Godspeed,
like, damn, that's a cool school.
So he had a shirt that was...
That's my school.
All right,
he had a shirt that was just the cover of Skinny Fists, and he would, like, wear it, and, like, you know, high schoolers always feel like, yeah, I'm kind of edgy. And one day he got, like, a teacher who, like, called him out on it, and he was like, no, it's for a record label, Constellation Records. Mm-hmm. And then that was the story. He just, like, I don't know, you get your kicks in on, I could totally relate to that. Like, kind of badass, like, yeah, I'm in a Godspeed shirt. Like,
I remember, like,
I have a Godspeed shirt, and when I would wear it when I was, like, 18, I would feel, like, super elite.
Is it a skinny
I remember when
shirt?
I got my Merzbo shirt, which I still wear to this day, and people would be like, what's your shirt? And I'd be like, bro, do you have a few minutes?
I got this bootleg Godspeed shirt off eBay that is really kind of nasty looking and has like a cartoon of like a prisoner holding a bullet and it says Godspeed spelled out in the clouds.
That's kind of cool.
Whenever I wear it, people are like, that's disgusting. It's like very detailed like face with like scars and like chipped teeth and he's like wearing a shackle around his neck and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, that sounds tight as fuck.
I've tried to find it again online, but I can't. It was like a one-off weird bootleg. I don't know. I'm kind of into it. But yeah,
I keep thinking I want to buy a Black Flag shirt, but like,
oh, yes. Do it.
I have a Black Flag shirt?
I got the classic white one with the logo. It says like copyright like 1985 SST on it. It's got all these weird stains on it. It's great, but you have to thrash it. You can't have a clean Black Flag shirt.
Oh no, no.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, I wanted to get a Process of Weeding Out shirt, and I haven't.
Yeah, done. With the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
That album rules.
Thank you.
That album has the
Beyond Something.
It has the wimpiest ever anti-police track. It's called "Screw the Law," and it's instrumental.
Yeah, but it's got a so pretty. It's got a pretty sweet bass line.
Yeah, did they have Cure at that time?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my wife. Yes, they did.
Yes. Oh, yes.
We are a pro Black Flag podcast.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very much so. Shout out also to Jeff for getting me a copy of Slip It In for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice. I was very excited when I got that.
I knew you would be.
Yep. You're a great friend.
We are a pro entire Black Flag's career also.
Yes.
Not the new shit.
Okay. Not that.
That doesn't count.
But I prefer the old, I like the last few LPs.
Yeah, we do too. We don't get like what everyone is like, oh, Damage is the best, and then they sucked after that.
It's My War is my favorite.
Like, even My War, you guys.
My War rules.
My War is, talk about one of the greatest albums.
Oh, yeah. Influential as hell, too.
Punk records, for sure. The B-side on it.
Yes.
Love it.
That's for Black Flag Day. That's for the Black Flag podcast.
We've already done
that. We did that like episode 6, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. But back to this band, which is not as good as Black
this
Flag.
This fucking shit.
The other thing I want to point out on here, Mannheim. It's good shit.
Yeah, that's the one where I'm like, yeah, I kind of get it.
Goddamn theremin.
Yeah, that's why. That's why.
That's in Sleep, right?
I really like theremin.
That's the main part of Sleep, basically. Mm-hmm. But that actually, I think, like the climax that builds to is actually really powerful when like the cymbals are really crashing and like it's cool. That's a good bit. That's all I gotta say about Lift Your Skinny Fist, though. It's really long and it's got too much shit on it.
Why is it called that?
Lift Your Skinny Fist?
What does that mean?
It's a gesture of defiance, man.
Why?
But they're skinny, so you're like a little, I don't know. Right. I always thought it was like a kind of represented like the little weakling making its stand against like the world.
Yeah.
Right?
That's deep. That makes sense. That sounds like me.
But it's got the Yer in it. The YR is like Sonic.
Yeah, the Sonic
time, youth. But now every indie kid still does it all the time on Twitter, and it's like it's 2016.
I was doing it because of Sonic Youth, like when I was.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I think that's. Well, I guess it's shorthand, isn't it?
YR? It is shorthand. It was like an old, like, you know, journalism.
But I know, like, Robert Creeley, the beat poet, he always uses YR in his, which is, I thought, maybe where Sonic Youth got it from. Cause
I mean, probably. They were really into beat poetry. Stuff. Yeah.
It's just a way to remove letters and say, I read books. Because usually you have to add things to say that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, that's true. That's deep.
So,
you like this band. You're really deep.
Oh, yeah. You're deep, just like Godspeed. So Yankee UXO, the black sheep of the Godspeed catalog.
The Steve Albini produced.
Oh, yes.
And that really doesn't help it that much.
Rockets not. Fall is good. I like Rockets Fall. They played. Is it Rockets Fall that they played on that children's show?
What children's
what?
Show?
Godspeed were on like a Canadian like children's show. No God. Like let me see.
God, like they Godspeed. Like the members were on it or just the
they played song? On it. It was okay, yeah. Chic Agogo. It was on a Chicago all ages cable access show with it's like hosted by puppets.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
I don't know if they played it on there or you might have mentioned it. Because I remember this puppet asks, like, do you have anything we can dance to? And then Ephraim was
Godspeed,
like,
you black emperor.
Ephraim was like, well, we have like, I think he meant, yeah, they played Rockets Fall on, it's only 5 minutes long, but they did it for their, they're in Chicago for their performance at Pitchfork. Yeah, I'm like looking at it right now.
Oh, so this was just recently, or like a few
I
years
thought
ago,
it would
probably.
Be, it would be pretty funny if they were on like Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah.
Because no, that's kind the of show like, that everybody loves.
Seriously, check, you should. There's like an interview with Ephraim too, and he's like getting interviewed by a puppet. It's and they're playing like surrounded by children. And
I want
you know, who says they have no sense of humor, Caroline?
See, I think this guy, yeah. When the fact that they're doing something like this, it's like sweet, and there's like a bunch of kids like going, "Yay!"
anybody can like do some shit for kids, and then it's fine.
Do you feel like I feel like Radiohead wouldn't do that?
I don't know.
And that's like the big, I mean, they're the sacred cow, you know? But I feel like they can kind of take themselves more seriously. Like, I remember they like wouldn't even meet Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yeah.
She just like wanted to say hi.
That was
and they were
like
no,
news.
We won't even meet you even though you're in like the next like green room. Yeah.
That's...
Was it Miley? Or someone
yeah,
else?
It was Miley.
You know, wasn't she like 18 too? Like she was...
But it's like, I think
I mean,
you can say hi.
Yeah,
I don't
know. That was a dick move.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
So what do you think of this album, Tom?
I like Yankee. I come back to it a fair amount. There's not too much that's like startlingly memorable about it, but right. It's a good record. It was a good way for them to go out. I still do think Rockets Fall is a standout, but it has maybe my favorite cover out of theirs.
Interesting.
What do you think? I mean, it seemed like kind of provocative at the time. Like, what did it stand for? I think it was. It was their first like post 9/11 album,
they're
clearly like very ready to say a lot.
Isn't that like part of why they broke up? Because of like the Iraq War, they were like, they said something like, "Oh, we can't like explain to people what the Iraq War is, so we have to break up," or something like that.
Yeah. Asking for them to do that?
Well, yeah, I mean they're the most political band, so. That's what they're all about.
I'm sorry, I don't have any. Like,
no,
nuts.
We were coming to them for like political science lessons.
No,
they would like for us to do that. Rather than
they can keep fucking dreaming.
I'm sorry, I don't have any like little nuggets of like. Well, this part has this really good riff. It's just I haven't sat down with them for a while.
Well, it's
even though I did just see them, but.
Yankee, I don't think Yankee is terribly memorable for the most part.
It's not.
I agree that Rockets Fall is the highlight because it kind of has that cool sort of spindly riff to it.
Yeah.
The other tracks don't really do a whole lot for me. And, you know, it's kind of amazing how much, like, personality Godspeed loses without the vocal samples.
Yeah, like, that's it was notable because it doesn't have any, there's nothing on it.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, we talked about whether the Dead Flag Blues monologue is silly or whatever, but I would welcome something like that on this.
Oh, movie. Yeah.
I think people were surprised.
You remember that, like, whether you like it or you don't.
Right.
You don't forget it.
But the music kind of becomes a little more beige without, like, the monologues and shit.
The vocal presence is important in any regard, I think.
Sure.
Or you have to be really, really, really good.
Right. The other songs, I don't know. Like, I've listened to this album, like, a few times in my life, and they've never really stuck with me other than Rockets Fall, which I can recognize because it's got the but the others, not really so much. But you still like this, though?
I like it, yeah. I like all of their records.
Okay.
But now we're in a very lengthy, now we're in the part after Yankee where they get famous.
That's true. Right?
Where everybody hears about them because file sharing.
Are we already moving on from Yankee?
I'm ready to.
Yeah, I got nothing to say about it.
Let me say this. It's really fucking long, again.
Yeah.
It's too long. It's almost as long as Lift
Your
Skinny
Fist. It fits on one CD, though.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you don't have to use the whole CD.
Yeah.
That's true.
I remember that's what Tool did when they made Lateralis. They were like, we're going to make it be as long as the CD pressing plant will allow, down to the last second. Mm. Of course you will.
Why? What's the point? Who's impressed by that?
Prog fans.
I guess.
That's a little statistic that I remembered. So
there you go.
But do you remember it because it was cool or because it was stupid?
I remember it because I'm, like, low-key a Tool fan.
Oh, that's cute.
You're so disappointed. You can kick me out now.
You know what? Listen, I feel that in the course of this conversation, we have become friends. I'm not going to get on you for being a Tool fan.
See, that's another thing where Tool have a specific thing. They're going for it. Everybody thinks it's goofy. And I feel like it's just a matter of, like, all right, you're going to... Everything here is based around, like, Fibonacci sequence and shell spirals and stuff. So let's just do it. Like, yeah.
See, you accept pieces of art on their own terms, and I really respect that because apparently I can't do that.
I feel like context can ruin everything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have bands that, like, are essentially ridiculous that I love, like Shoo Shoo, for instance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can be super, super emotional. Just completely, like, train wreck emotional stuff. Yeah.
Right. Like, I wouldn't blame anyone in the slightest for thinking Shoo Shoo is ridiculous nonsense. You know?
Yeah. I kind of did get on their level, like, when we did our episode.
Yeah.
But
they're a great band. Like, I legitimately think they were one of the best bands of the 2000s and that they are underrated. But that's just me.
Yeah. It's just you. You're the only one that thinks that.
It is only me. But that's okay. Are you a Shoo Shoo fan, Tom?
Kind of. I've seen them twice. And even though I've only listened to one of their albums maybe a couple times,
Fabulous Muscles?
Yep. Mm. I've listened to that one a couple times. And it didn't. I can't even remember what I thought of it because it was so long ago. But I went and saw them twice. And both times it was like tremendously emotional.
Your workout. Yeah.
Like, he was having, like, a breakdown. I remember that one time I saw them, and it was, like, around the same time that Jamie had posted a letter asking fans why he shouldn't commit suicide. And I saw them, like, either, like right before or right after he posted that.
Mm-hmm. And, I hate to admit it, but, like, I have been there, man.
Yeah, I mean, you can, yeah, that was...
I don't have fans, but, like...
Yeah, so, like, to see... He did, like, a cover of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car.
Yeah.
And, like... It was full of this, like, horrendous noises. Like, I remember he had, like, a gong that was, like, somehow detuned, and he had, like, a slingshot, and he would, like, propel little items at this gong, just hit them in a really nasty, foul way. So he'd be like, "You've got a fast car," and then he'd throw it, and it would go, like, ding! And it was just incredibly unsettling. Like, the whole purpose of it was to, yeah, but it... See, that's the thing where he has this thing that he just completely full force, like, went for. Mm. Like, I'm going to do this to make everybody really uncomfortable. And the applause
was... I feel like that's, like, that dude's whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's he lives it. Which is very... must be very troubling to me in his head.
Sure. Yeah. I also am a big Mike Patton fan.
Oh yeah. I like McFadden.
Good. I feel like I've mentioned this.
We all know
podcast.
My opinions, my very bizarre singular opinion about Mike Patton.
What's that?
Really? Is it like tweet length?
Sort of. He creeps me out because he looks like the kind of guy that's going to tell you how much he loves to eat pussy. Doesn't he look like that?
He just looks like a sleazeball.
Duh.
But he looks like that kind of sleazeball. Like
Tom just goes,
He's got greasy hair, I mean, yeah.
But right?
But can also, like sing Italian opera.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I can just picture him coming up to you in a bar and being like, girl, you see this? It's going to be all down on you tonight.
You know, you speculate on alternative music stars and their pussy-eating habits often.
I really do.
She said something similar about Kevin Shields.
Well,
oh, really?
I insulted him. You know what? He brought it on himself, okay? He wrote that song.
Which song?
Mike Patton didn't do anything. That was all me.
Which song are you talking about?
Slow.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was about him getting his dick sucked, though.
No. No, other way around.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right, so...
With it.
11-year hiatus.
Yep. Thank God we were finally free of this menace.
Godspeed becomes enormously internet famous in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, then, are they going to come back? Are they going to? Is the cassette tape going to get out? Right. I remember going to like their official website and stuff.
It's to the point where I actually did not realize that they broke up as soon as they did. That I thought that they had broken up in like 2005. Just because I remember them blowing up, and I was like, this couldn't have been that far out, right. You know?
But in 2012, they returned with their stupidest album title yet.
Hallelujah, Don't Bend, Ascend.
Hallelujah, Don't Bend, Ascend.
Yep, with the exclamation points, I was like, this is so Godspeed.
Yeah, sounds like a yoga instructor telling you how to eat pussy.
So this was this older material that had been kind of, because they had played, when they broke up, they had played stuff that had never been released, and I feel like some of this got repurposed. It sounds like you know more than me, Jeff.
I don't probably, but Wikipedia said that Melodic, they were actually playing that in 2003 before they broke up.
Right.
And they were calling it Albanian at the time or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think it's just a thing where, like, you come up with this stuff that you don't necessarily know what to do with yet, and then it comes out, you know, like that's older.
Then really it's just two pieces, so it seems like two pieces that could have been left over from Yankee or Skinny Fist, two pieces with the interlude.
I think this is better than Yankee, though.
Yeah, I do too. This has like better guitars on it. I know that I'm kind of stupid, and if it doesn't have guitars on it, I gotta be a fucking idiot about it.
It has guitars.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that they've had guitars before. Like, they've always had guitars, but, like, they kind of use them more in a way that I like better. Mm-hmm. Not enough for me to like this album, but enough for me to be like, yeah, okay, they're trying to do something a little bit
different. Hey, okay, that's, you would say it's your second favorite?
I guess.
By default.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a top three and you're gonna be like a fan.
Oh boy. Yeah, this is like them getting a participation trophy from me.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean it's more direct. It's more of like a, let's see, it's not, oh yeah, it's less than an
it's
hour.
It's under an hour.
I think this is a pretty good album. Like, it's better than I was expecting, honestly. But I think it kind of rocks. Like, Melodic rocks, you
know?
They
came back, and I feel like the two reunion records have been kind of more direct.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They might have realized what people have been saying, like, specifically in this podcast. Like, there's too much,
they
like,
noticed
waiting
me.
Around the things going on.
Right.
They still found, have Amy. They discovered my opinions. They cried it out. And they said, you know what? We've got to please this dumbass in North Carolina. We're going to make her happy.
Right. I think
they still failed, but I appreciate the effort.
They are just definitely trying to distance themselves from like the whole concept of like post rock, because they're clearly like the type of band like don't put a genre on us, just you know. Right. Which you can say whatever you want about that, but I understand that like maybe it's time to like make a little baby step and grow. Mm-hmm. It's like still firmly a post rock record and it has crescendos and stuff like that, but it's more.
Yeah. It doesn't seem as like obvious though, like in its, and it's sort of emotional like heartstring tugging that like. Some of the stuff from like Lift Your Skinny Fist, for instance, is very much going for. I mean, Godspeed never entered like Explosions in the Sky territory of like obvious like emotional manipulation, but this album, yeah, it's a subtler album, I think, than their previous stuff, and it rocks a little harder, and it's pretty cool. Like I actually didn't listen to this until this week because
really.
Yeah, like, you know, when Godspeed came back, I just had no interest in, like, listening to their new album. I was just like, it's just going to be more of the same. Like, it's going to be same old Godspeed, pretty much. But I was actually fairly impressed. I think this is a pretty good album. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it a lot. I remember when it came out, it was very exciting. Let's see, that would have been 2012?
Yes.
I mean, I liked it a lot. It was the ambient parts on it were kind of obviously like not, I don't know. It's like really, it seemed like they were kind of doing it out of obligation.
But you know, they're fine. Like,
yeah, it's shorter. I don't know. Yeah,
and at least they're their own like separate tracks. You know. Like, yeah. They're not just, like, wedged in the middle of fucking, like Lift Your Skinny Fist.
Don't you feel like the newest one is just, like, a lesser version of Alleluia, though?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what's cool is their albums are getting shorter, so eventually...
They just won't exist?
It'll just, like, it'll get shorter and shorter, and then, like, they finally release, like, a 7-inch, like, a grindcore band, and then they're just over, and, like, the evil is defeated.
Just the loud parts. I feel like it's hard to talk about the newest one without talking about Alleluia, because Alleluia set the new one was just kind of, that's the reason why the new one was like had the least fanfare of any of their LPs ever.
I actually didn't realize that they released an album last year.
It was pretty quiet.
Yeah,
I think because everything big was happening last year, so it was just like, oh, there's a Godspeed record. Yeah, okay, go do your cute little instrumental thing.
To Pimp a Butterfly came out like a month ago.
Yeah, so like destroyed everything. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
So no one was like, "Ooh, Godspeed." Yeah,
I'm sure somebody was somewhere. You know, this was partially recorded in North Carolina.
Which one, Asunder?
Or? Asunder. Okay. Which means that for a brief time, we were in the same state as these people.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't do anything.
We could have hung out. But we did.
They move under cover of darkness.
Don't they have to? Because of the terrorist thing.
Yeah. Well, they're, yeah.
Well, no, I'm kidding. I know that they don't, but.
Tom, you're in Minneapolis, right?
Yep.
What's it like up there?
How do you like it there?
It's a nice city. It's cold. It's small. It's clean. Mm-hmm. It's the number one biking city in America. We have some of the cleanest water. It's super gay friendly. It's got a little bit too many people with big beards.
Sure.
It's kind of got the lumber sexual thing. There's a lot of craft beer. It's a lot of like guys who ride bikes who have huge beards who like indie rock. I don't know.
Don't care for that, but everything else sounds really nice.
Everybody wants it. A lot of people want it to be like Seattle and Portland. It's kind of like a mini, like, hip up-and-coming city. I don't know. But it's got Prince.
I've heard a lot of good things about Minneapolis.
It's cool, yeah. So it's got Prince, and then, like, the club that First Avenue just did a couple pieces on it, First Avenue, which I volunteer at, and is where I saw Godspeed and most of the shows that I've been to.
Are you a big Prince fan?
We should have a separate one of these for Prince. Prince is like, you know, if you're from here, Prince is the god that you worship.
Sure, sure. I imagine he's a big deal up there. Have you always lived in Minneapolis? Or?
Yeah, I'm from the suburb that the Mall of America is in.
Oh, okay.
So, which is like a 10-minute 15 minute drive outside of the city.
Okay, I grew up 5 minutes away from Great Adventure, the theme park in New Jersey, and I went there, I think, probably like 3 times. So, did you go to the Mall of America a lot, or have you only been there like a couple of times in your life?
Yeah, I'm assuming this is different because the mall is just like free for entry, and it's like the size.
Yeah,
it's
still like the mall.
Yeah, it's so huge that you just pretty much never have to leave it. So when I was a teenager, we would go there all the time and just like steal a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
We'd be like going to the Best Buy and walk out with like multiple hundreds of dollars worth of like electronics, like like wireless keyboards. And
what was
like
your cargo pants situation?
Right? Because it's Minnesota, so everybody's wearing these huge coats. So we'd like put shit up of our sleeves and stuff like that. We had like flash drives and all sort of like wireless mice and computer shit. I don't know. But yeah, the mall was like, we were mall rats. My first ever job was at the mall.
Well, that's the thing about the Mall of America is like, it's kind of just a mall, but like really big.
Yeah. Like, it's just what, like 500 stores. I don't know
what I was expecting, but it really is just.
Have you been there?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. You've been. That's my suburb, man. That's walking distance from my house.
That's true. Yeah, we went to Minneapolis for a day because my sister in law's family lives there.
So. And you were like, well, we're in town. It's right by the airport. So. Yeah.
And we went to a record store while we were in Minneapolis.
It was either called The Electric Fetus or it was called Cheapo.
It was Cheapo, yeah. That's where we went.
You have a record store called The Electric Fetus?
Yeah, The Electric Fetus is
a, I gotta go there.
Super legendary like record store. One time Ringo Starr.
How many Nurse with Wound albums do they have at any given time?
They're kind of more like Bon Iver folky, but
really?
That's wrong with that name. There is a volunteer run punk metal noise store that's been going since 94 called Extreme Noise.
Okay, and I gotta go there.
I will rep it as one of the best record stores that I've ever been to.
I gotta go there. That's like in Raleigh. We have Sorry State Records that I miss every fucking day of my life.
What's it like?
It's kind of like that, like a lot of punk metal noise kind of stuff, and
yes.
The guys that work there are really cool, and like they also have like some rare stuff. Like I got a first pressing of Freak Out there.
Nice.
Yeah, and a first pressing and Hot Rats too. I got
good.
So like that was really exciting, and I just love that place. I miss it, and I like the record store that we have here, Lunchbox, but it doesn't compare to Sorry State.
So, I'm gonna do a record store tour.
Yeah, I do too, man.
Let's go all over the country and just, anyway.
So Tom, obviously Prince is a huge icon, but like, did you like grow up knowing about like Husker Du and the Replacements and shit?
I figured that out when I was 15 because I was like reading on. I remember I googled like Minneapolis bands. I was like, "Is anybody from here?" Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if anybody had ever been from my like. I thought it was like a really lame city. I remember I found like an All Music guide, like write ups about Husker Du and the Replacements, being like, "These are some of the most important bands of the '80s." And I was like, "Oh my god!" I remember like telling my mom, "Like, have you ever heard of these bands?" And she's like, "No," and I'm like, "Ah!" But I swear they're important.
So they weren't like big like. Local passed around. Like.
Oh, they absolutely are, but I just grew up in this little suburban world. But now it's like, it's interesting because the Replacements are like absolute gods here. Like the local rag made a map of like places they used to hang out at, and like they had this one-off reunion show that was like sold out in a heartbeat. But Husker Du is not even like, and personally, I like Husker Du more than the Replacements, but
Husker Du are a much better band, I think.
Yeah, the Replacements are just absolute god level here, and like, it's almost nauseating how much people drool over them, but like Husker Du, like nobody ever. And I graduated high school with my Metal Circus T-shirt underneath my gown as I like walked on.
Oh, that's
like,
adorable. You know,
so like as soon as I took it off, like for like post graduation photos, I had like the Husker Du shirt on, and like I made my mom drive me out to Greg Norton's restaurant just to like meet him, and like got a picture with him, and he had the handlebar mustache.
That's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
I was in my Metal Circus shirt. I was probably like 17. We drove to the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, and I got a picture with Greg Norton in my Metal Circus shirt. Like,
I had to wear a dress to my graduation. They made me. And do you want to know what color my high school graduation gowns were?
Were they cool?
They were prison orange.
Wow.
No fucking joke.
Like, that's like unintentionally kind of cool. I don't
Yeah, they're prison orange. There are pictures on Facebook of me in my graduation gown.
What about the cows?
Oh, the cows? I love the cows. I've met Shannon Selberg a few times.
I said hey.
They did a one-off reunion show at this noise festival thing that's at a bar downtown that I saw last year. And
yeah, they do, like, the AMRAP guys. Like, yeah, they the AMRAP do that. Guy.
So Tom Hazel there lives here, yeah. So they play Grumpy's with the Melvins. I once saw Shannon Selberg at a CVS that was by my house.
He, like, what did he buy?
Getting eggs there, and he was just, like, in an aisle, and I didn't know if I could say hi to him. And then I once saw him after a Swans show talking to Norman Westberg. And I, like, went up to the two of them, and I was like, oh, my God, you two are legendary. And I just, like, walked away.
Okay.
The first time I ever met Shannon Selberg was I had my mom drive me and my friend out to a bar that he bartended at, which I found out because I emailed Mark Prindle, the old record, like, he had Prindle reviews that were, like, really stupid.
We're familiar.
Pretty into it. I think we do need to ask him to do the show when we do
We've talked about trying to get Mark Prindle on our podcast, actually.
Oh, I'm sure he'd do it. I'm just shy.
Talk to people I've never met anybody in real life who knows who he is. So I had to, sorry if I was, like, condescending to, like, explain.
Oh, no, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, I emailed Mark Prindle. I was like, can you put me in touch with Shannon Selberg? And he was like, he bartends at this bar, supposedly. So then I went out there and, like, in northeast Minneapolis, which was, like, far away, and I met Shannon Selberg. So yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Tom. So if you know anything about me at all, you know I'm pretty into that AMRAP shit.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. So if I ever decide to go to Minneapolis to, you know, to be in the presence of these people, can I stay at your house?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you would want to come during AMRAP Bash. It's just called Bash.
Yeah.
And it's every summer, and it's at a bar called Grumpy's that's kind of on the edge of downtown. And then we could see if Shannon Selberg is still bartending at the other Grumpy's that's in Northeast. And then I'll buy you a Grain Belt.
A what?
Grain Belt is the local beer that I like.
Oh, I thought it was like a belt made out of wheat.
Podcast field trip.
All right, let's go. I'm in.
How did this topic change arise?
Because the cows are a way better band than Godspeed, and I always want to talk about them.
I don't know. Well, we were talking about North Carolina, and then I wanted to talk about Minneapolis as a contrast.
Yeah. I feel like I talk about it way too much on the board. It's like, I'm from Minneapolis, and everybody's like, shut up, that's a small city. And I'm like,
Minneapolis is cool, man. I'd love to live in Minneapolis.
We used to put on Heave Ho by the Cows at my high school LAN parties, when we would all have our computers together. I'd put on Heave Ho.
We would have been best pals.
So do we have anything to say about Asunder? Because I don't really.
Yeah, it's not that good.
It's cool that it has, like, it opens with the drums. That's cool.
Well, that's Asunder then. Yeah. And that's Godspeed.
Yep.
Well, what's next on the, what are your next podcasts?
We don't know. We actually have a theme month planned.
Right.
For April. Well, we don't want to spoil it on the air, but...
Oh. Tell me off the air.
Okay. You know what, though? Tool might fit in.
Cool. I'm not
you
like...
You want to talk about Tool. Yeah.
I would consider myself a fan in the lightest, but not a fanatic.
Okay.
So, like, just they have a couple albums that I, like, listen to maybe once a year, which is probably a level of admiration that is higher than most people on RYM.
Sure.
So...
But I guess we're done.
Yep, wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Tom, thank you for joining us.
Thanks. Yeah. Have me on again when Lime Dye Bagels comes on.
Okay.
I would love to host this roundtable.
Another foursome.
Yeah.
Because I think he wanted to talk about Husker Du. So.
Yeah. Just have me guest for like 10 minutes on that.
you can be there for the whole.
There might
thing.
Be too many cooks in the kitchen, but still, I'm
We've
sure
done he's... a foursome before, and it turned out good. So. I think we're all right.
Yeah, but it's been really good having you on the show.
Yes,
and we appreciate you coming on.
Podcast, so thanks for having me on. This was very exciting.
You've never been on a podcast before?
No.
That is awesome.
Here you go.
All right, I guess we're done here.
Yep.
So thanks everybody. We will be back next week with another cool thing.
Yeah.
Maybe. If we don't. You know, fuck it up like we did last week.
Yeah.
Are we going to do Portishead? Are we going to try to do Portishead again at some point?
Yeah, I got to say, I had an idea for a band to do next week. I had the idea last week, and then you suggested Portishead, so I didn't. But I don't remember what it is anymore.
It's tragic.
I know.
Well,
I'll try. It was Mudhoney.
Oh, yeah, Mudhoney's okay.
So, do you want to do that?
I like Mudhoney.
I mean, we'll do Mudhoney at some point, I'm sure.
Okay,
we only talked for an hour about Mudhoney.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. Mudhoney's, they're fine.
When I was 17, I could have talked for an hour about them.
Yeah, sure.
I like them. I love Superfuzz Big Muff.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
but do you love anything else they ever did?
I'm sure I could if I listened to it, which I haven't.
Fair enough. All right, folks. Bye.
Bye.